Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, I got some Vanderbilt fans out there kind of talking a little trash here. I got an email from Mark who says $100 on the V. That would be the Commodores, even up. And my response to Mark is not a chance. One way I can guarantee that Mizzou blanks the bed is I bet on them. I learned that lesson a long time ago. Like 20 years ago, I was in Vegas, and they were playing Troy. They weren't even Troy State at the time. We were playing at Troy, which I don't even know where the hell that is. I think it's down in Georgia or something like that. And we were huge favorites. Oh. And I bet on them. And then we lost the game. Not only did we not cover, but we lost the game outright. So
we didn't cover. Okay.
Yeah, that was when I decided not to bet on the Tigers anymore. John Ziegler is back with us this afternoon. We talk media bias a lot because he is the host of the podcast, The Death of Journalism. But he also had another podcast called With the Benefit of Hindsight that focused on Jerry Sandusky. And look, Sue, you and I, we've talked about this over the last couple of years. I've known John since right around 2009. We brought him here for a documentary made about Sarah Palin. We became friends. I would see him every once in a while when I was in LA. But even when I saw him going down the Jerry Sandusky, Joe Paterno, you know, rabbit hole, I'm like, John, what the hell are you doing? Here's the problem. I listened to the podcast and I listened to the receipts that Mr. Ziegler brings to the table when he makes this very impassioned case. And it's extremely complicated, but he's got another piece of the puzzle that has been released, an interview with the wife of one of the trial accusers. And John, I'm sorry that was a long intro, but it's a very complicated topic. So I wanted to kind of set it up a little bit because we can't cover all of the dynamics of this, but you did get a very interesting interview. And I've listened to a good portion of this. So I wanted to get you on here to explain the latest here. It's very interesting.
Well, I appreciate that. And look, I understand why everyone, including yourself, when they hear that I'm declaring that the most notorious serial pedophile of the 21st century was actually totally innocent, that they think, you know, what are you smoking? That seems utterly impossible. But as you know, I am not only not a conspiracy theorist, I'm an ardent anti-conspiracy theorist. And I also go by the facts and the logic, and this has been the worst thing that's ever happened to my life and my career, but I'm 100% right about what transpired here, and I believe that we've further proven that case with this interview to which you refer. Here's the short version of what happened. Right. So Jerry Sandusky has recently appealed once again in the state of Pennsylvania. By the way, serial pedophiles, Mark, do not appeal after they are convicted.
Right.
They usually kill themselves even before that. But this case is completely different on 100 different levels. And in this most recent appeal, one of the things that the defense is claiming is that two key prosecution witnesses have recanted their testimony. One of them is so-called victim number 10, a guy by the name of Ryan Rittmeyer. Now, the problem with this is I have interviewed Ryan Rittmeyer. for about 2.5 hours, although we've not been able to make it public. It's on tape. I have it in my computer. I may, may make it public at some point. But Ryan Rittmeyer has recanted a lot of his testimony, but not all of it, because I believe he's holding on to a fig leaf because he either doesn't want people to come after him for his $5 million that he got from Penn State, or that he doesn't want to admit that he lied about the whole thing. But he's basically saying he lied about like 90% of his claims, both at trial and when he got the $5 million from Penn State. Well, lo and behold, his wife contacts me when she hears about this situation and says, let me tell you the real story about what happened with Ryan Rittmeyer's claim against Jerry Sandusky and how I, meaning her, went from not having any idea who Jerry Sandusky was back in 2011 when this story broke, and then believing that my husband was molested by him as a child, and believing he's 100% guilty, to now being 1,000% sure my husband was never molested by Jerry Sandusky, and that Jerry Sandusky is clearly an innocent man. Now, you have to listen to the interview, which we released today, which is almost 2 hours long. We've put out a 15-minute clip on YouTube, which is easily findable, to get the full context of this. But this is not just her opinion, Mark. This is based upon her own first-hand witnessing and testimony regarding the evolution of her husband's story. By the way, after listening to my last episode of With the Benefit of Hindsight, she has decided to divorce Ryan Rittmeyer because she has concluded that he's a lying sack of crap.
So, yeah, let me focus in on that, because I heard, you know, I heard that portion. So basically that she listens to the podcast, the last episode before this one, and that's where she sort of, I don't know if she makes her entire decision to divorce him, but she hears things in that are quite troubling, I'm guessing.
Right. She learns a lot about, one, first of all, that he's cheating on her. That's a big part of it. Then also that she becomes convinced that he lied about Sandusky. She then does her own research, reads a book from an author by the name of Mark Pendergrast, who was a very well-respected author, wrote a book called The Most Hated Man in America. And she reads that book and she realizes, oh, my God, I took part in a moral panic to destroy this man's life. We got paid $5 million because of it, but an innocent man is going to die in prison. And, you know, we put out a video clip of how my interview with this woman, Jasmine is her name, ended. It's only like 2.5 minutes long, but when I ask her the question, so what would you say to Jerry Sandusky if you had the chance? She literally breaks down.
Yeah, look, I have that audio, so I don't have the whole 2 minutes, but let me play like 90 seconds of this, John. Here you go.
What would you say to Jerry Sandusky if you had the opportunity to send him some sort of a video or voice message?
I would hope that everything works out for him. It's heartbreaking to think that he seems to have dedicated his whole life to helping kids, and now he's sitting in jail accused of doing like the worst thing to kids. And I was married to one of them, and I defended Ryan all these years. I love Ryan so much. I still love him. I'll always love him. I hope everything works out for him, really. But I mean, this man is so old, and he seems like such a sweet person, and he's sitting in prison, and he's probably going to die there with people thinking that he's a pedophile. And that's devastating. And I really hope that he could get some kind of a new trial and somebody will tell the truth somewhere.
Okay, so a couple of things. You mentioned that he's going to be divorced from her. Why does she have legitimacy in her side of the story if she's going to divorce? You know, maybe she's got motivations against the ex-husband or the soon-to-be ex-husband. Why believe her?
Well, listen to the interview. She has firsthand testimony and details as to how the story evolved and Ryan's first reaction when she was the person who told him that Jerry Sandusky had been arrested. And she witnessed his first police interview. And so she goes through the whole thing, and the whole time she's like, huh? What? But she buys into it because you have to understand the level of the moral panic at the time. I mean, you guys had a much smaller situation involving Mizzou about, what, 7 or 8 years ago, where you guys all lost your minds and a lot of people lost their jobs because of it. Well, that was...
Oh, you mean the football team when they had the protests and the players didn't want to play and all that? Yeah.
Right. That was a moral panic and people lost their minds. Well, this was 1,000 times worse. And you had the entire media world telling everybody that Jerry Sandusky was a pedophile, that these accusers were you know, heroes. And, of course, you got Penn State essentially pleading guilty by firing Joe Paterno and putting over $100 million on the table literally the next day. People come out of the woodwork with nothing but lies. And the narrative is impossible to reverse at this point, especially when the person at the center of this, Jerry Sandusky, is incredibly naive and was ill prepared for the onslaught that he was going to receive, because he honestly believed, as a very Christian person, that Jesus was going to take care of all this, that the system couldn't be this broken, these guys couldn't possibly testify against me because they all loved me even into adulthood, which is 100% true, including Ryan. His first reaction to his wife Jasmine, who you just heard there, was, what? Jerry's the greatest guy I've ever met. How could this possibly be
so
real?
So that was his reaction.
Yes.
when he finds out about that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So on the interview that you haven't released with Ryan, why? I don't know if I picked up on exactly why that hasn't been released.
Unfortunately, everything about this case is complicated.
Okay.
The reason, the guy who is trying to get Ryan to recant, and I made a deal about how the interview would be released. And after the interview was done, he, I think, reneged on the deal. And he's been threatening to sue me if I release the interview, which I don't think he has any case. But I actually also wanted to give room for Sandusky's attorneys to file the appeal. I didn't want to do anything to screw that up for him. So I just decided discretion was the better part of valor. And frankly, even though the interview with Ryan is fascinating, because as you might expect, Mark, I go after him pretty hard for about 2.5 hours.
Imagine. Right.
And it is very, 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 very clear, even before I ever met Jasmine, that Ryan is lying about Jerry Sandusky. He was never abused by Jerry Sandusky. It couldn't be more clear. But I actually think Jasmine's interview, which is blockbuster, I mean, it is so good. I'm not overstating it. She is so credible when you listen to her. It's so detail-oriented. We take her step by step through the story. And it's not just like she has suspicion that he wasn't abused. She's positive of it.
Yeah, interesting.
Because she lived it. And by the way, she's not just his wife. She's the mother of two of his children. I mean, this has been a 15-year relationship. They got married the week the Jerry Sandusky story exploded, so she remembers everything about this. She couldn't be a better witness, even without the emotional catharsis and climax at the end, which you just played.
With the Benefit of Hindsight is the podcast that John's done on the Sandusky case for the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
benefit of a question I'm about to ask you, explain just in you know, short form here, who Mike McQuarrie is and how he's a part of this story.
Well, he's the one that people probably still remember all these years later, even though it's 14 years later. He's the former Penn State assistant coach, then a graduate assistant, who allegedly witnessed, in the minds of most people, a sexual assault in a Penn State locker room. And that, for most people, I totally understand. They think that's game, set, match.
Right,
and
right.
If that story was true, or even close to true, I would be the first one standing up and saying, I don't care.
Right,
what the problems are with the other witnesses. If that happened, then obviously Sandusky's a pedophile and he's guilty and everybody should be presumed to be telling the truth. But our first episode of the podcast, With the Benefit of Hindsight, breaks down that episode in a way that I believe leaves it completely lacking in any credibility whatsoever. In every possible way, including, by the way, who the actual boy in the shower was. We know that person. He never testified at trial. He said constantly, as a sergeant in the Marine Corps many years later, that Jerry was the greatest thing that ever happened to him, that there was no assault. McQuarrie was wrong. By the way, McQuarrie's own testimony was manipulated by prosecutors. We have emails from McQuarrie complaining to prosecutors about that. I mean, he got the date, the month, and the year of the episode wrong, not once, but twice, catastrophically wrong. He didn't go to see Joe Paterno the next morning, as he claimed. It was 6 weeks later. I believe I've proven that through the timeline, which is not consistent with someone seeing a sexual assault. He never went to police. He never got the boy out of a dangerous situation. He never confronted Sandusky. None of it is consistent
with the bizarre. It really
is. The story that we were told.
Yeah, the whole thing is just nuts. And then, you know, even on something like this, John, where you're getting a lot of traction and people are checking it out, and I certainly wanted to talk about it, there's no mainstream attention to this at all. I mean, are they even talking about it in, you know, at Penn State in Happy Valley?
Well, other than you, there is a media blackout on this, although somehow that clip that you just played was seen over 500,000 times on X alone. I don't know how the heck that happened, and a lot of time, you know, and many other views on Facebook and TikTok, but look, the story is too old, it's too complex, too toxic, nobody cares about the truth. And the most bizarre part, Mark, for people don't care about the story, what I find fascinating from a psychological perspective is every time it comes back up, and I see, you know, you'll see me respond to hundreds of people on X about
I know,
this.
And I love to see the responses. I read them, but go ahead.
Oh, they're hilarious.
Yeah, I know.
If you know anything about the case. But the level to which people really want to believe this happened, this horrible story happened, is mind-boggling to me. There was once upon a time, 12 years ago probably, when I came to this conclusion, maybe 11 years ago, that I thought, you know, people are going to be happy that I'm telling them that nobody got sexually abused.
It's the opposite.
This horrific thing didn't happen. It's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
I'm the bad guy because I've destroyed their dark fairy tale that for some reason they became very invested in. And, you know, as Mark Twain or whoever said it, it's far easier to dupe somebody than to convince them that they've been duped. And that's really what we have in this story.
One of the things that I think personally gives you some more authenticity here, and I know you've spoken to this issue before, and he's passed away, but Franco Harris became a friend of yours, and he was someone who was very interested in the story that you were telling.
Franco Harris, for people who don't know, obviously the Pittsburgh Steeler Hall of Famer, Immaculate Reception. He was a Penn State graduate, a huge supporter of Joe Paterno when this controversy happened. Franco and I became very, very close. I miss him every day. I've told many, many stories about the times we have spent in bunkers on this story together. Franco Harris confronted the aforementioned Mike McQuarrie at Joe Paterno's funeral in the middle of a firestorm. This is like 2 months after the whole story breaks. Everyone is wondering, what the heck did Mike really see? Franco Harris, a man with enormous amounts of gravitas, a large man, a man who's a legend in Pennsylvania. You do not lie to Franco Harris, especially under those circumstances. And Franco Harris came away after questioning Mike McQuarrie, I believe, more pointedly than any attorney ever did in the entire process, came away completely and 1,000% convinced Mike McQuarrie didn't see anything.
Yeah, yeah. Fascinating. Well, listen, the 2-hour interview is up there. I started listening to it on my way in today. John can be followed at Zygmunt Freud, Zygmunt, F-R-E-U-D, interesting stuff. Can't wait to see what happens next. Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right,
thank you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.